Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello, and welcome to Selective Hearing, a space for honesty, healing, and transformation. I'm Julie DeMar, author, filmmaker, and host of this podcast. We've all practiced selective hearing. This podcast is about more than just a conversation. It's about breaking barriers, fostering understanding, and stepping into the best versions of ourselves. So take a deep breath, open your heart, and join me. What does selective hearing mean to you? Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Happy Monday. This Monday, I am here with Jessica EVR, and she is a perimenopause and menopause coach. So we're going to have a conversation about life, ladies, just all about life. But we are going to touch on some things regarding perimenopause and menopause as we have this discussion with you this Monday. So, Jessica, thank you for being here with me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
I love opening my shows. I just like to jump right in. So I want to hear all about you and how you kind of got on this journey.
I'm a second generation musician and yogi. I was actually conceived at a transcendental meditation yoga weekend. My parents. Did that mean I led a charmed life? No, my mother was alcoholic and a drug addict and had a very, like, now I'm looking at it as, oh, she had a very traumatic childhood. This is why she was self-medicating. And my dad was, he came from like a regular good family, but he was very eccentric and an artist and musician and a composer. And so basically I had an alternative upbringing. I didn't know it at the time. Anytime anything came up, they were like, let's go to the library. Let's learn about that. Let's learn about what we could do. Maybe we could try things differently. Maybe we could look at it. Maybe we could ask someone else. Not that they didn't feel sorry for themselves. Sometimes everybody does. They really groomed me to always be looking towards learning. So I've been a lifelong learner. I joined the gym and started working out, and I wanted to do yoga teacher training, but I thought I'm very clumsy, naturally clumsy. And I didn't think I was capable of doing that. But because I was in the gym, you know, they have these signs that are like, you're stronger than you think. Strong is the new skinny. You can do anything you set your mind to. It's all about how you're thinking, you know, getting through your workout or even getting to the gym. And so they kept saying, well, just do it, right? If you want to do yoga teacher training. So I found a place that I could do it over the summer. And immediately after joining, I was like, I don't want to be a yoga teacher. You know, I don't want to just bring people through. And then we do this, and then we do this, and then we do that. Exercise. I want to get into really helping people with whatever condition they're, you know, dealing with. And I went immediately into the yoga therapy program. I graduated in 2019, and then COVID shut everything down. And I just went online and kept working with people one-on-one online, designing care plans. So I don't need a diagnosis. I just go based on their body condition and help them get to a better place of health and well-being. Then my perimenopause symptoms went just nuts, like really. And for a lot of us, it does seem like overnight change. And I wanted to talk about it. So I started trying, but my friends weren't really interested in talking about it. They weren't quite there yet. And so I went online and I started a Facebook group just impulsively, which is how I do everything impulsively. The next thing you knew, it was like 100 people, all friends of friends. And we had people we didn't know trying to join. And we went through a little debate, like, because our culture was so kind and loving and sweet, right? When everybody's a friend, when everybody has a friend in the group watching them, you end up with a really naturally supportive culture. And opening it up to stranger means you could end up with someone who just wants to basically poop on everybody else all day, which does happen. And so the consensus was, if you're willing to deal with people being mean open it up, and I did, and we're at like 11,270 today or something like that. Like, and that's all organic growth. I haven't advertised other than just talking about what I do. It's turned into like a whole little community of people. Like, I have eight of us now volunteering to admin the group. And yesterday we were just chatting about working out, you know, and so we're encouraging each other. Oh, you know, I couldn't really do much this week. Oh, I did two. Oh, I did three. Oh, yeah, yay, toot your horn, toot, toot, toot. You know, we're lovingly supporting each other and the women in the membership and still dealing with flack. I also got a negative message this morning that went along the lines of, I can't get into your group, so you suck. We're very careful. We screen everyone. So if we go to look on your profile and we can't see anything but one picture and no friends, and you know what I mean? If your privacy setting is that high, then we can't tell if you're a real person or a bot. So it's a matter of safety. And it's been really amazing. I can't believe how little help there is for women in midlife and how many congruent things we have, right? Like marriage issues, problems in the family, getting cut out by people that don't want to talk to us anymore, you know, dealing with little kids. And also on top of that, this, you know, plethora of symptoms that can be really, you know, random and extreme. You know, you can figure out you might be in perimenopause, but there's no clear next step. And that's when people find my group.
I just kind of learned about this with meeting you, and I had another guest not that long ago where we had this discussion, and I didn't know, like, in my mind, which is crazy too because I'm 40, so it's not like it's not on the horizon, ladies and gentlemen, but I had this thing in my mind where this was like something that can happen much older, and it was also something that happens a certain way, I guess, how it's always depicted on TV, like, oh, the hot flashes and the changes in my temperament and things like this, and that it's a process that occurs in a short or an allotted time span. And I've learned, and we're going to get into this, ladies and gentlemen, I've learned that this can actually be a process that strings out over a long period of time, over years, and it can be a lot of different symptoms that you experience. And because a lot of people aren't educated in the subject, like me, it can hit you and you don't even know. And so then you don't even know how to communicate what's happening with you or how to get the proper support. Sometimes when you're articulating things, it can even seem as, just complaining or nagging or things like that, when that's really not the case. So I want to hear your feedback on that.
It's just a disconnect in how women's health is approached. Like, if you said you're 40, so let's just say you wanted to get pregnant and you went to your doctor and you said, I want to get pregnant, but I'm having more anxiety and I'm having trouble sleeping and my periods have, you know, changed. Like, you're having more PMS or you're having heavier, or you're having them closer together. Your doctor, without hesitation, all the hormone panel, everything will be checked because you want to get pregnant. We value that. Same 40-year-old you goes into the same doctor and says, I'm having more anxiety. I'm having trouble sleeping. I don't feel comfortable in my body. I'm having heavier periods, or I missed a period, or, you know, I'm feeling really rumination. I'm having a lot of thoughts I can't control, and I'm having trouble getting going in the morning, and I don't enjoy my former, you know, like my book club. I could care less. You know, I used to love it, and now I can't even sit down and read a book. And that same doctor will say, we don't test for hormones. And good luck with that. It's just part of getting older. And so, you know, the debate is like, are they doing that on purpose to, is it a sense of violence towards women? It is and it isn't. It's systemic violence because they don't teach you in medical school about menopause at all. So I just had to meet it with a new doctor last week. And I said, I'm in perimenopause. Yeah, because I wanted to see, right? Like, not all men have an idea about this and that. And you know what I mean? Like, they're not going to necessarily put you in a box. But I wanted to just kind of gauge, you know, his reaction. He took me on as a patient, right? Because it was a meet and greet. So he could have said no. So I don't think I scared him too much. But I did have to emphasize, you know, if you tell me to go get blood work, or like, I don't skip my mammograms, I do all of the testing, I take all the medication that I have been prescribed as prescribed. And you know, so I'm looking forward to developing a relationship with him, which is what you have to do with your doctor. Instead of just going in and being like, please help me, and having them know, they may or may not know, you might have to educate them a little bit about perimenopause, which means you need good solid information, which is another thing that comes in with my coaching, where I can help people really streamline what it is they're going to go in and ask for and make sure that they're getting the help that they need. But the medication is something that's like step three. Step one is your lifestyle. Step two is maybe looking at supplements. And step three is medication. So it's a whole process.
It's a whole process. I didn't even know about. And then it made me, when I had the discussion prior, it made me go into this whole thing about, gosh, like women and our changes. Because you go from like being a little girl into puberty, and then you have to go through all those changes. And then you go from that into becoming a mother or trying to become a mother and all those changes. And then you exit that, and then you have to go into perimenopause and menopause. And there's so many changes with your body, so many changes with your hormones, so many changes with your emotions that, and we're always like expected to handle these things with grace. I said grace to be nice, but you guys can take it where you want to take it. Like, but definitely yeah. We are expected to just kind of, yeah, zip it up and push through
yeah.
for everyone, your children, your husbands, your partners, your family, whoever, your community.
Yeah. And I just want to acknowledge the ladies who choose to not be mothers, because I hear from them quite a lot. I have a heteronormative way of talking about things. I'm a white woman married to a man. So this is my filter, right? This is what my experience has been. I grew up in a big city, so I'm really sensitive to the multiculturalism, right? I'm not a racist and I don't have a lot of preconceived ideas, but we do have a idea that women do this process, but there are a segment who do not want to become mothers and they still deserve the love and respect that's still a change that they went through. And then, you know, the support in that is their choice, that is their life, that is their body, that is their decision. It doesn't make them less of a person or less loving or less wonderful. They make great aunties. They become substitute grandparents for people. And, you know, a lot of the time their reasons are very personal and they are, you know, often just left out of the conversation. So I just want to make sure to mention that, you know, I mean, for the women who don't become mothers, the question I get is, oh my God, am I going to have it worse? Right. Does that mean that? No, it doesn't. It seems to really be a crapshoot. My sister went through peri and she was really not in trouble at all. She was able to manage it. And then when she was through into postmenopause, she needed more help. Luckily for her, she had a good doctor willing to work with her and find some solutions medically. And, you know, she's doing fine as far as I know. I'm different. I'm having perimenopause. Okay, I don't want to say hell, but it's kind of, you know, has not been pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some boundaries in this, because mm-hmm. like anything else, when we're experiencing things, I think it's important to establish boundaries in order to navigate these things in a healthy way and to show everyone in our life kind of where we stand with how we need to be handled during this time.
Yeah. And it's really, I've had people be like, what does boundaries have to do with, you know, having trouble sleeping or anxiety? And it's a lot. You even need to have a boundary with yourself. Like I have a boundary about certain topics that I'm not allowed to ruminate on in the middle of the night. And I practice mindfulness meditation. As I said, my parents were both meditators and I've been trained in meditation in a few different styles with different practitioners. And not that I can always do it. Night before last, I had, you know, the topic of today's topic of choice, basically ruminating on that all night, or not all night, but up until I realized what I was doing. And then I got up and did something called yoga nidra. Yoga nidra is like a guided meditation, but you lay down and you get all comfy and you put on your headphones or however you want to listen. And your job is just to listen. You just lay there and listen. The guiding factor takes you down through the different levels of brainwaves to a very relaxed state. And then you are more likely to go back to sleep, which is what happened for me. And yoga nidra also does everything we need in peri and postmenopause. It regulates your stress hormone. It brings up the happy hormones. It makes us have less anxiety and we're better able to sleep. We're more self-aware. And that self-awareness part, like, wouldn't you say, as far as setting boundaries, First, I have to know enough is enough about this. And then I have to articulate it to the other person in a way that they can't selective listen and call me negative, or I don't know what I get called bossy, I get called negative, I get called complaining or nagging or picking a fight. I get that quite often. And I don't think that any of those things are true. I think I'm just trying to express my concern about whatever it is that's happening. So the example I use a lot is dinner. When the kids were little, I just made dinner. I didn't really think about it too much. Husband was working full time. The kids were, a handful. And I was able to do that throughout my day and put everything in the crock pot or make some kind of a plan. So I did. And I didn't have a problem doing that. I was fine with doing that. But then the kids grew up, right? And it's just me and my husband. And I was like, what am I doing? This person is not 12. He's not a child. I am also working. He is working. Why are we not a team? And so I started saying,
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously, your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Him stuff like it's your turn. Like, why is it a legit situation where you don't take a turn in certain things? It's not the same as me climbing under the car because I don't know anything about climbing under the car, but you can read a recipe and you do know how to cook. And so at this point, we've gone through that over the last few years. And now it's just if I'm having one of those days, like let's say I didn't sleep well, or I'm having a lot of anxiety, or I'm having a lot of body pain. I've got endometriosis, which kind of just goes along sometimes with, I think, with the perimenopausal changes because I had dominant estrogen, which just made it worse. It was probably always there. But if I'm having it's like randomized menstrual cramps for no reason, nothing's happening. You're just having menstrual cramps. Delightful, right? If I'm having one of those days, I will just say, here's your choice. You can cook or you can buy dinner. And he just goes, okay, he picks one. There's no debate anymore. I shouldn't have to debate my physical condition every time.
That brings me into selective hearing and conflict resolution. So, like, there's a lot that we can go into right there. And there, I'm going to pull up your notes that you sent me because I really liked how you said there's a lot of selective hearing in spouses and families that don't believe that it's bad, and friends that don't want to hear about it, and even doctors who don't want to hear the seriousness of the body conditions during this transition. So, I would like to talk about that and how it applies to finding a way to resolve this and make sure that everyone understands what is being experienced so that we can move forward in a healthy way.
And I was watching a movie last night and I can't remember what it's called, but there's a woman who's an actress and you kind of watch her. Like, now I'm so aware of this kind of subtle manipulation and how women have been indoctrinated to put their own needs aside, try and make everybody around them happy at the expense of what they need and want, minimize their own condition if they are having a health issue or those kind of things. And she basically ends up in bed with someone she had no interest in being in bed with, right? You can tell that she wanted to be friends with this dude. The mood changed and she clicked into this people-pleasing mode. And we have been habituated into being people-pleasers. And, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with making people happy. Definitely do that. But like, even my dad had dementia, and at a certain point, they can no longer consider the people around them. Their prefrontal cortex is hardened. And I said to him, Daddy, if I have to pick you or me, I have to pick me. And as my dad, you in your right mind want me to pick me. So you are going into a full-time long-term care facility that has memory care, and I will visit you as much as I can. And I'm not debating it anymore because we went for 2 years on the roller coaster of this. And eventually I had really bad caregiver burnout, which I think is something that can happen and makes it harder to communicate because let's just use that example of so you're having trouble sleeping and you're having heightened anxiety. You haven't really figured out that this is related to perimenopause yet or had a doctor help you in any way. But you turn to your spouse and you say, wow, I'm really not feeling myself. You know, like book club was today and I didn't go. I always go, but I just didn't want to go. And I was feeling really too anxious to drive. And I feel really uncomfortable in my body. I'm not, and I don't really know what's going on, but I think I need to go lay down. And he says, oh, you know, you're just overreacting and being lazy. So he didn't hear anything that you're saying. And I'm not even saying that it's his fault. He has also been habituated to subtly manipulate you because it works 9 times out of 10. Okay, so now this woman who has been, you know, cooking up how she's going to explain this to her husband all day in a way that's not mean, didn't get anywhere. What happens at that point? She might start screaming at him. She might just go upstairs and lay down, which is what I did. She might say, if you think I'm selfish, go ahead and do that while you're telling me you don't give a crap about how I feel. Who's selfish there? Who's being selfish about not caring about how I feel? Because you have to keep in mind this person right now doesn't really understand that there's a hormonal fluctuation. She just feels ill. So it takes a little bit of digging and my husband is very action oriented, like a lot of men are. So I just started saying to myself, you know what? I'm going to do what I need to do to take care of myself physically and mentally and emotionally. And he's going to adjust and go along with me. I kind of think of it this way. I don't know if I said this to you before, but a healing journey can be like getting on a train. One day you just make a decision. I've had enough of that. I'm not going to do that anymore. You get on a train, you start learning, you're reading books, you're talking to therapists, you're going to groups, you're doing whatever it is that you need to do to take care of yourself. You are now on a healing journey. Your partner, your friends, the people you love are either going to get on that train with you, at least to support you to be on that train, or they end up falling away. Because, like I said to my husband yesterday, you can't have it both ways. You can't shame me for not wanting to spend money, which he does. Oh, you're just limping along. You don't want to spend money. You always think you're broke, blah, 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 blah. And also be mad at me for using the credit card. Pick one. So some of it is like, how can you communicate with that person in a way that they can understand you? So if your husband likes sports, you can use sports as a way to explain it and kind of like jump over the selective listening and just say, you know, your star player is injured. I have an injury. It's not the same as a broken arm. It's more like a sprained ankle. But if you put me in the game, what happens? We lose the game and I'm more injured. So what is it that you want? Because I am injured. I'm your star player. What would you like? Order dinner? Make dinner? You know, like I think sometimes with men anyway, you have to be really simple. And with doctors, you have to be a little bit more like, here are my symptoms. That's why I have the comprehensive symptoms list. Because sometimes when it's in black and white, like I've had this happen, like chronic headaches, and then they check off. I have it as like a scale, right? Almost always, sometimes, you know what I mean? So it goes from bad to, you know, or never, right? So the doctor can see. And I've had people say to me, you know, the doctor looked at it and went, you have headaches almost always? And the note says, I wake up with a headache every day. How long has this been happening? And the woman is thinking, I have told you this 6 times. But now that it's written out on an official looking form, it means something. And because he should be looking into that, right? I mean, chronic headaches could be a lot of things. It might be nothing. It might just be like a lot of us get TMJ, like clenching at night. So we'll wake up with a headache from that. And that's treatable with using a bite guard. You want to know, right? If you do have a, if it is a tumor, right?
Right. I like that you brought up the list because it's really important also in this for us to know how to advocate for ourselves when we go into these spaces. If you don't know the language, or if you don't even understand what it is that you're experiencing, it's going to be very hard for you to communicate those things, and even harder for you to get the fair treatment.
Definitely. Especially with one like I don't feel right in my body. That happens a lot. I just don't feel good in my body. My body has changed, and there can be reasons for that, like your body composition starts to change. We lose muscle and we gain fat. That can make us really uncomfortable. It could be that you have really, really itchy skin. Sometimes we don't register that that's an itchy sensation because it's really weird. It doesn't feel like a normal itch, and scratching doesn't help. It's ex essentially really dry skin. So that is treatable. But if you don't know what to look for or what to call things, like I've had people be, well, my doctor's just so dismissive about the whole thing. How am I going to get across the message that this is really affecting me every day? I said, you have to say quality of life. You have to say it's affecting my employment. You can say it's affecting my marriage. These are things that they know are important for your overall health and well-being. But if you just say, I don't feel good in my body, they'll say, join the club, right? Who feels good in their body?
Right, your doctor probably doesn't feel good either.
Oh. Especially if they're a woman between 36 and 55. I'm ching. It's not funny, but it is.
Man, okay. So I want to move into overcoming and your advice on helping women who are experiencing these things with overcoming. And when I say overcoming, everyone, I don't mean that, oh, it goes away. We're gonna wave a magic wand and it's all better. Useful and helpful tools and strategies to help you successfully manage these things and maintain your mental health.
Yeah, definitely. I think I said this to you before. Acceptance is the answer to all of my problems. So when I first read that's from the Big Book of AA. You know what? I'm gonna fight for my right. No, that doesn't resonate with me. But acceptance is different than playing the victim and allowing people to treat you badly and rolling over and putting up with crap. Acceptance is actually the opposite of that. Acceptance is more like where you look at the situation from a holistic standpoint, right? Or you really look at the whole thing and you go, okay, something's got to give and it ain't me, right? Like I said before, you're picking yourself, you pick yourself as your priority, and you should. And it makes you a good influence. It makes you a great mom, makes you a wonderful friend. You be your best friend to yourself. And then you start picking and choosing what you can turf. Like I had a few relationships that were really difficult relationships with people. Where I ended up going, for me, I'm not really getting anything out of it. And trying to address the issue with that person is really going nowhere because selective hearing again, they heard the criticism, but they didn't hear the nugget, the gift. And even when I would put it that way, I'm giving you a gift here. This is a solid. You can look at it for yourself and reflect and decide, is there a grain of truth here? Is there something about this that I could maybe do that might increase my quality of life with all of my relationships? Or am I just going to say, she's a dumb so and so? Because am I? No, I'm not. And I'm bothering to tell you because I actually do care, but I have to pick me. I don't have a choice, really. Well, I do have a choice, but I think that if I hadn't picked me when I first got really sick when I was 37, I had a near-death experience, I would be dead. People would just use me up. Like they would just take full advantage of my kindness and my loving, generous nature. So we need to make sure that we are okay with that. And one thing that I said to women a few times that got through was, would you just tell your daughter to put up with that? If your daughter came to you and said, I don't feel good in my body and, I'm having menstrual cramps and no period, and or I'm having a period that's lasting 28 days. And now I'm anemic. Would you just be like, well, let's go get some diapers so you can bleed through them? No, you would go to the doctor. And then if that doctor didn't help you would find someone else and you would go to that doctor and you would take your daughter to this doctor and you would go here and you would try this and you would find something to help her. So you have to move into that role for yourself and be your own advocate and your own mom and your own best friend and turning towards others. And that's one of the things that I did not realize when I started my little support group on Facebook that exploded. Women at this point in our lives, and really at any point in our lives, we really need to talk about this stuff with people that are going through the same thing and to feel that we're supported in whatever decision we make, right? Because I've had women say, I'm not gonna take any medication. And I say, okay, Let's help you with all of that lifestyle stuff. And then we can look and see if there's any supplements that might help you, right? Because I don't have an, I don't need to have my agenda. It really makes me mad that women aren't encouraged to be autonomous about their own body condition and to make those decisions. And other women have said, I don't have any interest in adjusting my lifestyle or trying supplements. I want the medicine. I don't want the surgery, you know, give me the doctors. So I say, okay, let's do that. I will help you to do that. And there's no wrong answer because there's no one right way of doing things, and everybody's a little bit different. And when we acknowledge that and support other women, we get something out of it. Like recently, I had somebody like, ah, it's just everything I've tried, and I feel like crap, and I can't seem to pull any of this out of the hat. You know, like I'm just lost all the time. What can I do? And I was like, do you want to volunteer? Come and volunteer in the group and monitor the posts. And be in that little group chat where we can support each other. Like, really, anything. One of us got a diagnosis at one point, and we rallied around her during that diagnosis so that she could have us support her to get to a place of being stable. And we have this idea like, you know, we can live with a man and have a couple kids, and that's our family, and those are the people, and that's it. And it's really, we're not wired to do that. Women are wired, and men are also wired. Like my husband's going through a hard time right now. He lost his mom, and then we lost my dad. And we talked to one of his friends this week, and I actually said, you know, he needs a bro call, right? They don't talk about it the same way that we do, but having that time to talk to his trusted long-term male friend fills his cup, and he still needs that. So finding ways to fill your cup is really important. giving yourself a break, right? Like we are in a delicate condition. Like they'll say that when you get pregnant, you're in a delicate condition. Why do we not recognize that going through this transition is a delicate position? We're vulnerable in a lot of ways. We're scared often. We might be easily, I can't believe how easily overwhelmed I can be. That was one of the tipping points for me to go to the doctor and be like, okay, I'm ready to try an antidepressant because my phone rang and I was like, ooh. That's not me, man. I've been getting up on stage and singing in front of people since I was a kid, jostled from my phone ringing. You know, and she's and then my doctor was looking for perimenopause, and she said, no, this happens a lot, where that's one of the symptoms that can come up kind of just all on its own, where you suddenly have increased anxiety. But we do know that the antidepressant prescriptions help with that a lot. And a lot of them are even geared specifically to help with other menopause symptoms as well. So it's not a bad option to, I just keep telling, you know what? The main thing is keep talking about it. Talk about it while you're sitting there waiting for your mammogram. Talk about it to the pharmacist. Talk about it to the nurse. Talk about it to the counselor at your kid's school. Just keep talking until, because someone will say to you, oh, you know what? My friend went here to this clinic that's local, and da 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 da. Like you'll get on something, some track with someone who will help you, but nobody's going to come, do you need help? We're here to help. Like that's not going to happen. We kind of have to, and our sign can't be like, I need some help. It has to be like, help me. Especially if you're dealing with a dumb dude, which I'm sorry, that's derogatory. I shouldn't say that, but sometimes they're not the most emotionally intelligent. Let's say that.
I've learned that isolation is the most dangerous thing that you can take on when you're in need. You need community. And yeah, I mean, when I needed help, I started, this show started from a Crazy Town live stream. I needed help. I didn't know what to do. I got on the internet and started talking crazy. Somebody got in the comments and said, girl, you need therapy. Boom, there it is. Now look at the show. But it started there. It started on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock, me just going on a tangent about all the things that were going on. I was like two bouts in with postpartum depression. I literally had it with my first kid, got pregnant again, had it with my second kid. I don't even know if I came out of it with the first kid. My second pregnancy was so harsh that my baby came at 30 and a half weeks. So it was a like I was under some stress. We were locked in a house. It was COVID, you know, like I went through some serious stuff. Had I not braved the waters and said, this is, I can't take it. I'm not okay. It's enough. And me start, you know, shouting from the rooftops, like, hey, crazy lady over here. Hey, y'all see this? You see it? Yeah, I do need therapy. Okay. I would not be in this seat today talking to everyone and able to provide them with resources to get them along on their journeys. So it's very important. Do not isolate. You are not alone. Don't sit in the dark. Don't keep listening to that negative inner voice. You have to talk to somebody. Get out there. Put yourself out there. Like that's some great advice. So before we close, I love closing. I feel like that's like chef's kiss to close
Perfect.
on. You are not alone. Don't sit alone. But before we go, I need you to please share how everyone can reach out to you.
Oh yeah, well, if you're on Facebook, you can join the group at CPMS, which is kind of funny. That's PMS. Canadian Perimenopause and Menopause Support Group. It's not easy to get in, I'll just warn you that way. And there's a reason for that. And we keep out a lot of the issues in other groups don't happen in my group because we're very careful about who gets in. Unfortunately, sometimes it means a real woman can't get in, but that doesn't mean you can't get help. There are other groups you can join for sure. You can look that up. There's lots of different discussions on like Reddit and Instagram. There's lots of good doctors you can follow. And there's I have my website. It's funny you said you were not alone because that's like the banner on the bottom. You are not alone. That's the main message. And that's CanadianPerimeno.com. I share all kinds of stuff on there. One of the things we do is if someone is recommending a book, I'll put it on that website. So you know that book is recommended highly in my group by your peers. So let's say if you didn't get into the group, you can still go to the website. You can take advantage of the blogs. I just shared one of the podcasts I was on recently. There's other podcasts that we recommend from the people. I have one group member named Erica. I was like, wow, you really know your stuff. How did you get so well educated? She was like, podcast. And I was like, send me a list. So she did. She sent me a list of all the best ones. And we went from there. And I'm starting a membership shortly. And this is going to be a little bit more. We're going to still focus on peri and postmenopause, but there's also all these congruent things, right? Like trouble in your marriage, problems with employment, deaths in the family, getting cut off from people that you love. There's all these things that happen, like surgeries. We are more in, they're not perimenopause related, but they seem to happen along that same timeline. And any of those things can be addressed and discussed in the membership. I'm going to be bringing in guest speakers, and experts, and all of my classes will be available in the membership. And everybody there will be invested. So there won't be anyone being like, I think that you're dumb, because you're going to get, and you paid to be there. So when you paid to be there, you're not going to do that. The comprehensive symptoms list. So if you click the link and get that, you put in your email, and then it asks you to confirm your email. That puts you on my newsletter list. But I'm not like a, I don't, there is no spam. Like I only send you a message when something's of interest. Like when the membership actually is ready, I will send that out by the newsletter. Because if I don't want another email, it's like, well, you want my email if you're in perimenopause, because I'm not going to blast you with anything. So I think that's the best way to reach me probably is going to the website, and then you can send a message to me there directly if you have questions. And I love helping women with this stuff. I feel that it's an accidental calling, like I never would have anticipated doing this, but I wrote about that in the book that came out in November, Women of Purpose, Creating a Better World. I wrote all about a psychic prediction that said I would become a teacher and that I would help a lot of women. And at the time I was like high on marijuana and a dropout from high school, singing in bands, completely depressed, not even like feeling like I had any direction. Like my life was really purposeless at that point. And then, fast forward to now, it's like, I think that's what she was talking about. There's no way she could have known about a pandemic. There's no way she could have known about online. That wasn't a thing. There's no way that she could have known that I would be able to start a group, or that I would have all this experience with Al-Anon, the Family and Friends of Alcoholics group. So I know how to run a support group. There's no way she could have known any of those things. And yet I have, over 11,000 members in my group. So, theoretically, I've helped them all, at least more than not. Because they're still in there, and we have like an 80% activity rate. So most of the people that are in there are actually active. They're commenting, they're looking at posts, they're asking questions, they're answering questions, they're being supportive of other women, or they're, which is harsh in some ways, but live and learn. Some people need to learn the hard way. That's okay.
There's consequences for everything, so I'm for it. I'm for it, and we need a lot more niceness in the world. I'm really over the culture of I need to like be snarky and say harmful things to people just to make myself feel better.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if you
So.
saw, I've been like, I'm going to just start publicizing every time someone sends me a really negative, harmful message. I'm just going to take a screenshot and I'm going to start sharing it publicly. And I got a lot of negative feedback from that, from women basically saying, well, that's public shaming and you shouldn't do that to women. And I was like, well, let's just see. So the next time someone sent me a message asking me to come to Paris to speak and pay them thousands of dollars to do that, I looked them up and yeah, it's a scam. So I took a bunch of screenshots and shared that on my Facebook. And I have had no more of that. So sometimes that's like a setting a boundary as well, right? And I should come with a warning, right? Watch what you say to me because I might make that public. That is my prerogative to make that public. If you are abusive to me behind the scenes, I think that's the biggest problem with ending abuse is that everybody feels like, well, we have to protect their privacy. Really? You have to protect their privacy when they feel entitled to be abusive to you? Really? Why is that? Patriarchy. Let's blame the system again. How we were raised to be nice to everybody, giving them the benefit of the doubt. So I don't know exactly where I stand with how public I'll get with those, but Mary Claire Haver, one of my favorite American menopause doctors, goes after people and contacts their work when they send her abusive emails or messages that are inappropriate and tells their daughter that he sent me a dick pic. I'm serious. Now, that's a little extreme. I don't know that I would go to that length, but it really got me thinking about like, yeah, why do we, why is the culture so toxic? Well, because we're all like, rant over. Thank you for having me. It's been a lovely conversation.
I really enjoyed our conversation. I really did. And we made it. We made it with little, very little interruptions from my live studio audience
Your
upstairs.
background
So,
singers.
yes. So everyone, you have all that information, and it's also going to be on the resource page at www.selectivehearingshow.com. So please reach out to Jessica and ask her any questions. Join her group. Be nice in the group, honey. I don't want to hear about anybody I sent being mean in her group, okay? So everyone, be kind. And until next time, this is Selective Hearing.